who was he? And she told me that that it was Jesus, and he was praying to his Father that this cup would be removed from him, that he would not have to go to the cross. And then she said, but he has to go, had to go to the cross, and he was willing to go to the cross to pay for your sins. And I remember just sitting there feeling so bad for him, because he had to pay for my stuff. And I knew I was bad. I mean, I had the spankings to prove it, you know. But that, looking back on that, I never thought of that again until about 5 years ago. Just came to my mind, the whole scene. And, you know, I think the Lord was just saying to me, see, even back then, I had my hand on your life. And so that was like the, kind of sums up the first 6 years of my life. And my dad went in with my uncle to buy a farm about 10 miles north of where we were, Massachusetts. And so we started this new life on this farm. And I don't know if you know farms, but they're pretty hard lives to live. And my dad was building a house, digging a well, digging a cesspool, trying to get a house ready for us while we were living in my uncle's small house where everybody smoked. I ended up coming down with asthma. And finally, we moved into our own house, and my mom started going to a new church. And it was a extremely legalistic church. The Ten Commandments were the requirement for you to get into heaven. I mean, if you kept the Ten Commandments, you could make it to heaven. But as you all know, there's difficulty in trying to do that. And anyway, so we started going to this church, and I think my dad went once, and he pretty much said to himself, there's no way I'm going to live up to this. And I think he had some childhood experience at church, maybe, that told him something was not really right here or something, but they were still very nice people. I believe they were saved, and they were always good to us. So I don't want to put the people down, because they were wonderful people. It was a tough situation to have to go to that church, and almost on a weekly basis, someone would get up there and ask for a commitment to Christ. And I made all these commitments to the Lord that I would never do certain things, which I failed at every one. I found out I couldn't live up to my commitments. And, of course, at that time, I was probably between 9 to 13 or 14. And anyway, the life on the farm really got hard for my dad. And my older sister, who was 15, ended up getting pregnant. And this really threw a loop into our family. And my mom, back in the early, it was in the 50s. That sort of thing was really looked down upon. And my dad lost his job, and the farm wasn't really working out, so my dad just really started having a hard time. And when I was 14, he actually tried to commit suicide. He didn't make it. My uncle found him, and he went to the hospital. And back then, they gave shock treatments and things like that to people. And he came home, and he obviously was a different guy. And he was always depressed after that and ended up drinking, and my mom had to go to work. And so the family life was pretty rough. And by the time I turned 16, I got my license and I stopped going to church. I got a job on weekends, I think particularly for that reason. And I just kind of get away from God. And when I graduated from high school, there was a draft. The Vietnam War was going on. I ended up going in the service and going to Vietnam and got involved in substance abuse over there, which was pretty rampant over there. The atmosphere over there was really bad. It was really depressing. And all us guys wanted to do was get back home and live our life. And so I got out of the service eventually. And when I got home, I just got hit with depression in a very profound way, and even to the point of wanting to commit suicide. But because of my religious background, I knew that if I committed suicide, or at least I thought that if I committed suicide, I would go to hell. So that was out of the picture. So so then I kind of had to figure out what I was going to do with my life, because I was doing drugs and drinking, and I kind of in the back of my mind knew that I needed God. You have another question?
Yeah. That's a point. That's a really good exclamation mark to end on. I needed God. Okay, no. Well, first, thank you for sharing that. Just that part of your journey and what that was like for you and where you were at that stage. So, you know, just to kind of recap, you come back from the whole Vietnam experience. You're dealing with depression. You're at times dealing with suicidal thoughts, and that's kind of the place you're in at that point. Things have spiraled down. And how did God kind of meet you at that point and bring you to the place where you not only encountered him, but put your faith and trust in him and received the Holy Spirit's filling and became a child of God and began to experience some of the change that comes with that?
Well, I think God was reaching out to me, because he would just bring things to mind. Like, I was sitting watching TV one night with a bunch of my drug friends, and this guy just came on the TV. I don't know, we were flipping channels or whatever. And he was walking all along the beach, and he was talking about God. And I was like, I zeroed in on that. And I have no idea what he said, but at the end of that, there was a bunch of people singing, young people singing. And I could see this joy on their face. I could see this peace and this contentment and this rest, and it was everything that I longed for but didn't have. And then I began to I snuck home. I didn't sneak home. I went home and I snuck my childhood Bible back to where I was living. And I was living with a bunch of people that were doing drugs. We had this big house, and we all had our own room. And and I got my Bible up there. And after our parties every night, I would go up there and I would try to read the Bible. And I started in Genesis. And I got bogged down at least by Leviticus. Probably a lot earlier than that. But, you know, God, this was just another thing that God had put on my heart to try to seek him. I just didn't know how to do it. And I was talking to my dad one night, and I basically, you know, told him that I had had suicidal thoughts. And he immediately said to me, "You've got to get religion." And I'm like, I'm thinking, well, how about you? But that just kind of worked on me too. And then my younger sister, Judy, who was just graduated from high school, she saw what I was going through. And I actually think it was PTSD probably, which hadn't been labeled yet. And but it was also my bad choices. And my sister was just trying to reach out to me. And my older sister and her husband had started going to church, to my mom's church. So Judy told me that, and I was like, are you kidding? Marge and Dick are going to church? So it's kind of flabbergasted. They were the last people I thought, because they had it together, seemed like. They really had it together, so I didn't think that that would ever happen with them. But anyway, they invited me to a Bible study, which was a trick, because it was really an evangelistic service. They had every intention of getting me saved. And I went to the service. Well, just before that, I had had a dream that the second coming of Christ came, the Lord was in the air, and my family went up to be with him, and I was left behind. And I think the Lord was trying to impress something on me there. So I went to this evangelistic series, and it was at my mom's old church, the legalistic one. So it was a fire and brimstone message, and the gist of it was, Jesus is coming back, and you don't want to be left behind. And the Lord just kind of told me that they had an altar call, and several people went down, and I was kind of thinking, well, gee, I didn't really think I was going to do this tonight. And I felt like I had an angel on one side of me pulling one arm and a demon on the other side of me pulling the other arm. And I thought I was going to be pulled apart. And but the Lord kind of spoke to me and said, it's now or never. And I believed it. And my sister just happened to go forward, and I just followed her. And even though this was, I didn't really hear the gospel, you know, the gospel of grace, you know, and how to get saved, but I went forward anyway, and I believe I got saved at that point. I did get delivered from alcohol and drugs immediately. I never had a problem with them again. I was getting quite sick of them anyway. And I did have a little more difficulty quitting smoking, though. I had to do that on my own through legalism. But I started going to this church, and I started trying to do the stuff, trying to live up to the Ten Commandments. And it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. I mean, in this church, you couldn't go to dances, you couldn't drink, you couldn't smoke, couldn't be a member of the church if you did any of those things. And you know, I was ready to give up everything, and I did. But it didn't bring me peace. It actually made me feel even more unworthy. Because I remember one time, a few months later, they were planning a baptism And several people raised their hands, probably some of the people that went forward that night, that they wanted to be baptized. And somebody said to me, "Bill, how about you? Don't you want to be baptized?" And I just said, "I can't right now. I'm not worthy." And I just how I felt. And it was a couple of guys from this college that this church ran, and they came up to me after, and they started reading me stuff out of the book of Romans and out of the book of Galatians. You know, how we're not under law, but we're under grace. And that intrigued me, because I think I could handle that better. But I had to be convinced, and so I ended up going to that college for a couple of years. They had started up a new program called the Bible Instruction Program, where you got an associate's degree, and then you went out and gave Bible studies. I never got that far, but I did have to do some Bible studies, and they were, you know, they weren't really Bible studies. They were more doctrine studies, you know, with proof texts. And, you know, I did that for a while. We had to go out door to door, and we met a family that was interested, and we ended up having a Bible study there for a while, and they were really nice people, and sorry I led them into that. I don't know. I hope they got out of it, but but I did a lot of studying on my own, and I did finally come to the conclusion that this church and this college wasn't teaching the right stuff, and that it was grace. And at that time, I encountered a ministry that was full of young people, and it was really kind of exploding. It was just spreading out everywhere, and it was a real the message was a real grace message. But even that, it was in my head, and it was like I had to really prove it out, and that took several months. I was at a school, and one of our homework assignments for a Friday night was to go out soul winning. and it was like, I wanted to pass this class, but I did not want to go out soul winning. And I bit my tongue and I went out, and there was a busload of us, and I think it was Portsmouth that we went to, and they let us all out, and for a little while I ended up alone, and I didn't know what to do. The first person I talked to, I just said, "Have you ever received Christ as your personal Savior?" And it was a girl, and she looked at me and she says, "Yes, actually, I am a Christian." And I thought, "Oh, that wasn't so bad." And I ended up praying with I think three people that night to receive Christ. And so I was, that kind of encouraged me. And we did several of those. We went to Boston. That was a scary place. And ended up in the combat zone, which I didn't even know existed. And we survived that. But all right, where am I going with this?
Bill, let me ask you at this point. So you've come to Christ. Some change has obviously gone on in you, but you're still in a context where there's kind of, you're conflicted about the reality of the new life you've come into, but then the restrictions and the imposition of legalism and all of that. So how did you come into, and what was the experience like of moving from kind of a legalistic, law-based reality into the liberation and the freedom of grace. How did that happen, and what kind of practical impact and difference did that make in your life, and how's that kind of sustained you in the arc of your journey from then until now?
Well, yeah, for a while there, it was like having one foot in the Old Testament and one foot in the New Testament, or one foot in what you had to do for God and the other foot in what God had done for you. And I finally came to the point where I've got to make a decision here. I've got to choose, because I can't keep splitting it up. It was too confusing. And I finally came to the conclusion that either God is going to save me or I'm not going to be saved. And it got to the point where all I could think of was, I've got to jump off this cliff. And either God's going to catch me or he's not. And so I just kind of mentally did that. And God was there. And obviously, you know, because it is by grace and it is through faith and it is through what Jesus did on the cross for us. But I want to go back to when I was in that legalistic college. A couple of things happened to me there. One, I used to come home on weekends a lot and kind of share things with my sister. And one weekend I came home and I was sick as a dog. I had the flu or something. And I was sleeping on the couch. And I had muscle aches and my legs hurt. And I was laying there in misery. And all of a sudden, I just felt this love wash over me. And I can remember just laying there thinking, because the pain was still there. I still had the muscle aches and my legs hurt. And I thought to myself, I don't even care. It was just this God loving me. And that moment and that had such a profound effect on my life. I mean, that was probably the first encounter with God other than in my head. And that stuck with me for not long enough, but a while. And then another experience I had, I was just studying something. I was studying a book, and I was still back in the old college and the legalism and everything, and it was a story about Jesus, and he was 12 years old, and he was at the temple. Remember, he got left behind at the temple, and he was watching the sacrificial system. He was watching the lambs being slaughtered. And in this book, I don't know where they came up with this, but it rang true to me. Jesus realized at that moment that he was that lamb, that he was going to be that sacrificial lamb, because he grew in grace and truth. In the cradle, he didn't know anything. He had to learn. And he realized that he was going to be that lamb. And he had to make a decision to do that. And that kind of went back to the experience I had as a four-year-old in the church, when my mom told me that, you know, that Jesus had to go to the cross to pay for my sins. And as I thought of that, the Lord just filled me again. And I was like on cloud nine for about 3 or 4 weeks. I just couldn't shut up. I was just telling everybody about it. But, you know, those things happened to me even back, you know, while I was still trying to figure things out. And so I got involved in that ministry and ended up going on a team to Providence, Rhode Island. And I was in full-time ministry for about a year there and about 2 or 3 years in California. And during that time, my wife and I ended up getting married. We met doing a Bible study in Bristol, I think, Rhode Island. And but we decided to come back east, and we moved back. We came to Maine and tried to find a church. And we kept going to different churches, and we kept finding legalism. And we just couldn't really find a place that we were comfortable with. And years went by. We bought an old house. We worked on the house for several years. And I finally was getting convicted that we needed to go. We needed to find a church. And this is kind of jumping forward here, but I had actually called a pastor of a church around here that I decided to start searching for a church, and was planning on going that Sunday morning. I got up, and my wife came home from work. She worked at Maine Med, and she kept running into people that went to the Vineyard. And Ralph Parody was one of them. And so she talked me into going to the Vineyard, even though I had already kind of almost made an appointment with this other pastor to go to this other church. And, of course, I was apprehensive. I didn't know what the Vineyard was like. I kind of had in the back of my mind that they're all legalistic. So I was very apprehensive when I got here, and... But as soon as I walked through the door, I just felt this peace come over me. I looked around, and there was all these happy faces, and people were just alive, and I just totally felt at home. And then when the worship started, I just fell apart. It's like I was just Well, physically, I was just quivering. I thought I was shaking. I was a little worried that the people behind me would call the rescue or something, thinking I was having a nervous breakdown. But and then I took the worship CD home, and I just spent time with that, and the Lord was just ministering to me through that worship, because my life before that, I mean, the worship was always the hymns, very good doctrinal dissertations to music, and they were about God, and I just realized that, we're not singing about God, we're singing to Him, and that was just, you know, that just touched your heart, and it just changed the whole scope of things for me, and I got more involved in this ministry, and ended up going to a small group and leading worship there. It was Tom and Cynthia's group, and they didn't have any kind of worship, and so Cynthia says, "Does anybody get any kind of music background here?" And I used to play guitar like 20, 25 years ago, totally forgot about it. And nobody played any instrument. So there was Cynthia staring at me, and I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, what does she know? And she says, "What, are you hiding something, Bill?" And I'm like, deer in the headlights. And I says, "Well, I did play guitar a long, long time ago." And so the following week, I had come, now is the time to worship. I had learned one song. And it was an old guitar that you could hardly tune, and it sounded awful. But we worshiped. And I ended up starting to get music from Johanna, and Cynthia connected me with her, and so I've been getting into worship ever since. And I do the worship on the Friday nights at Friday night prayer, and I love that. It's my most favorite time of the week. And I started teaching my own small group, and we started inviting our grandkids, and we've got quite a few. And so we had, I don't know, probably 10, 12 grandkids coming, and all we were doing is worshiping, singing, and none of them really knew the Lord. But they started coming to church, and eventually all of them got baptized. And probably a lot of you know Danielle. She came here and was on the worship team for quite a while. And they even started bringing their friends. And but then it morphed into something else. And I don't know what they're doing now, but I believe they all met the Lord, and the Lord's going to take care of them and bring them into the kingdom at some point.
Cool. Bill, let me ask you one more thing. I'm just looking at the time here. What's the one thing that you would share with us that, and there's many things, obviously, but what's the one thing in your life, in your journey with Jesus, that you treasure most about the reality of coming into an experience of the grace of God? Because that, I know, just from knowing you, and as we've heard this morning, that's been so instrumental in your journey and bringing you to where you are now. What is it about the grace of God that you treasure today and that you would share with us so that we can access that same grace and experience what it is that you treasure about that grace?
You know, I love grace, but I've actually moved on to love, the love of God, and the intimacy that God wants to have with us. I mean, grace is wonderful, and it gives you that freedom. And but it really is the thing that gets to me most is the fact that God loves us unconditionally, met all the conditions for us so that he could love us unconditionally, and that is what really changes us, and that's what is what really transforms us, not a knowledge of grace in our brain, which is another thing that happened to me through the worship. And, you know, I mean, the worship is loving God back because he first loved us. And and I lost my train of thought.
You don't need to say anything else. That's good. So I just want to thank you, Bill, for being willing to come and be open and honest before us today and just share some of your story. I know in 30 minutes we only get a small window, but we thank you for doing that. We thank you for the letter that you are from Christ to us, and we do get to read you daily, weekly, and be blessed and encouraged and edified by you. So thank you so much.